Welcome to North Star Church. At North Star, our desire is to lead people to follow Jesus Christ and not simply go to church, but to be the church. The following message is by Jeff Noble, lead pastor and teacher at our Blacksburg, Virginia campus. You can find more information about North Star, including recent podcasts, news, upcoming events, and so much more at northstarfamily.org. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Well, it sure is incredible to see all of you here this evening, and thank you for coming to celebrate our first December nights. We love doing December nights. This is our 10th year to be celebrating Christmas together in the evenings as a church family. I want to invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. And tonight and next Sunday evening, we're going to be looking at the two births that are described in Luke chapter 1. And we're going to be trying to draw some application from these incredible Christmas events that we see here. And so in Luke chapter 1, we see these two births described as John the Baptist and Jesus. And if you'll follow along with me, we're going to begin in verse 5. It says, "In the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest of Abijah's division named Zechariah. His wife was from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both were righteous in God's sight, living without blame, according to all of the commands and requirements of the Lord. But they had no children, because Elizabeth could not conceive, and both of them were well along in years." When his division was on duty, and he was serving as a priest before God, it happened that he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. At the hour of incense, the whole assembly of the people was praying outside, and an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified and overcome with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, because your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you will name him John. And there will be joy and delight for you, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will never drink wine or beer. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit while still in his mother's womb. He will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the disobedient to the understanding of the righteous, to make ready for the Lord a prepared people." "How can I know this?" Zechariah asked the angel. "For I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. Now listen, you will become silent and unable to speak until the day of these things takes place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah, amazed that he stayed so long in the sanctuary. When he did not come out, he could not speak to them. And then they realized that he had seen a vision in the sanctuary. He was making signs to them and remained speechless. When the days of his ministry were completed, he went back home. And after these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and kept herself in seclusion for 5 months. And she said, "The Lord has done this for me. He has looked with favor in these days to take away my disgrace among the people." The same angel will appear to a young virgin named Mary in just a few short months. And he will appear to Mary and he will assure Mary that she too will give birth. And Mary's response will be, "How can this be? For I have not known a man." So this one angel has this incredible responsibility to inaugurate Christmas, the very first Christmas. And the way he began this is by appearing to an old man who had the privilege of entering into the temple of Israel, into the Holy of Holies, what's being described here is that they would draw lots, and one time a year, a priest would get to go into the Holy of Holies in what is called the Day of Atonement, and he would make atonement for the people of Israel. And so here is Zechariah behind this heavy curtain. He's making offerings for the people of Israel, and the crowd of priests is outside wondering what in the world Zechariah is doing inside the Holy of Holies for such a protracted time. And we know from looking at Scripture and with the benefit of hindsight that he is experiencing an appearance of an angel who is giving him one of the greatest promises ever. And so we have two births announced in Luke chapter 1, Zechariah and Elizabeth, and then Mary's. Both births are miraculous. Zechariah and Elizabeth because of their age, and Mary because she's a virgin. One birth was tinted with mirth and disbelief. It was so hard for Zechariah to believe that in his old age, he and Elizabeth would have a child. And then the other birth, Jesus's, would be tinted with suspicion and doubt, as even Joseph wondered about Mary's character and sought to put her away in divorce. So tonight, let's examine real briefly what we can learn from the scripture that we've read. What you see taking place here with this appearance of an angel, this is the very first time the Israelites have heard the voice of God in 400 years. God has been silent. There has not been a prophet arise in Israel since Malachi. In fact, the very last verses of the Old Testament in Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 through 6, the word of God through Malachi said this: "Look, I'm going to send you the prophet Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. Otherwise, I will come and strike the land with a curse." Those were the very last words of the Old Testament. And from that moment, God goes silent. And suddenly, Zechariah is perpetuating the religious rituals of the people of Israel. He's in the Holy of Holies, and an angel appears. And the angel is going to announce that the fullness of time has come. Something momentous is taking place in your day, Zechariah. It's not just that you and Elizabeth will have a baby, but your baby will make a people prepared for the Messiah of Israel. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 13 through 14, Jesus said, "All the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you're willing to accept it," Jesus said, "he is the Elijah who is to come." And so John the Baptist would put on cloth and he'd minister in the desert, and he would act like one of the Old Testament prophets, and he would resemble the ministry of Elijah. And in our text today, we see something really interesting. You can look back at verses 6 and 7. Makes the comment that both Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's sight, living without blame according to all the commands and requirements of the Lord. Think about that just for a moment. You have an old couple. They're both considered right with God, righteous. They're both living without blame. They're ministering. They've served the Lord for so many years. But look at what the next verse has to say. There's this contrast. It says, "But they had no children." Think about that just for a moment. They're considered righteous in God's eyes, without blame before God. They loved the Lord with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. But they were childless. I think one thing that we can see from that is that we see that the testimony of their character is followed by one of Scripture's unsettling buts. Their character was impeccable, and yet they were childless. And the reason is even placed on Elizabeth. And their age obviously was a deciding and excluding factor, but it teaches us that we can be righteous and still be disappointed. We can be walking with God and still have unmet expectations. In their situation, they had continued to trust God, even though their circumstances were not what they wanted. And they continued to trust God and find their contentment in their relationship with God. Where was Zechariah? He was in the Holy of Holies. They were both serving before the Lord. Elizabeth was a descendant of Aaron. They were both from high priestly families. In the middle of their circumstances of longing, of wanting a child, they continued to serve and they continued to trust God. Nothing is ever beyond God's ability. No one is beyond His touch. No circumstance is beyond His interruption and beyond changing, and no prayer is unheard. And then you see the details that are given to them by Gabriel. Verses 13 through 17, if you glance back at the text, he says, "Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. You will name him John. There will be joy and delight for you, and many will rejoice at his birth, because he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will never drink wine or beer, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while still in his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God." It was a spiritually dead time for the people of Israel at this moment in history. And here, Zechariah has been promised that his son would have a ministry, would have a calling, that God would use this young man's life to call the people of Israel back to intimacy and affection for God through a love relationship with Jesus Christ. It says, "He will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of fathers to their children, the disobedient to the understanding of the righteous, to make ready for the Lord a prepared people." What do you think Zechariah thought in the Holy of Holies with this angel? And suddenly, "Hey, Zach, you're going to have a kid. Your prayer has been heard." Zechariah is probably sitting there thinking, "Man, that was an old email. God, we prayed that a long time ago." He responded in disbelief. He looked at his circumstances. He looked at his own ability. He looked at his own body. He evaluated what he was capable of. He thought what Elizabeth was capable of. And he said, "It's not going to happen." And so the angel, in response, struck him dumb so that he was unable to speak until the birth of John. Something bigger was going on here, wasn't it? In Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 5, Paul said, "When the time came to completion, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." And the Christian Standard Bible has it as, "When the time came to completion." I don't like that, because it doesn't carry the force of really what's taking place. The English Standard Version says, "When the fullness of time had come." I like that. When the fullness of time had come is this perfect moment in history that God had been patiently waiting for. And He invites a couple who are righteous and blameless to participate in the advent of the Messiah, to announce the coming of the birth of Jesus. In the fullness of time, God's plan from eternity past, it was there now. It was something that every good Israelite was looking forward to in faith, was when would the Messiah come? And suddenly an angel stands in the Holy of Holies with Zach and he announces, "Now is the time." God's plan from eternity past, it happens now. It begins now. Very soon, angels would be appearing out over a field where shepherds were tending their sheep, and the angels would be announcing to these shepherds, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, a Savior is born for you, who is Messiah, the Lord." This had been something that God had been doing for ages, preparing for Ephesians 1, 9 through 10 says, "This is the mystery of His will according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things into Jesus, things in heaven and things on earth." And what is stunning and astonishing to Zechariah was that he gets to be a part of this plan. He responds in disbelief, but the reality of what's happening for him and Elizabeth is he is right in the middle of God's greatest activity. He didn't know it. He'd just been chosen by lot. He just happened to be there in his own thought processes. Sometimes we don't know that we are right in the middle of God's activity. You think you just happen to be going about an ordinary day, and suddenly God graciously but divinely interrupts your day, and you find yourself right in the middle of His activity, right in the middle of doing something that is beyond you and that is bigger than you and that is more magnificent than you could ever dream of. And one of the preconditions is that we must be right with God. We must be walking with Him, even in our disappointment, even in circumstances we can't control or wouldn't pick for ourselves, even when our dreams have been dashed, even when our past is scarred. We must still choose to walk with God in the middle of our lives, because when God interrupts us, He's interrupting us for a purpose that's bigger than ourselves. In Acts chapter 3, verse 24, it says, "In addition, all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those after him have also foretold these days." Hebrews 1, 2 says, "In these last days, God has spoken to us by His Son. God has appointed Him heir of all things and made the universe through Him." These were special days. They were full days. It was the fullness of time. And here's Zechariah and Elizabeth invited to participate in what God is doing. And even tonight, the very first Sunday evening of December 2018, if you're hearing the words of Scripture, if you belong to God and faith, He is inviting you into a momentous life. He's inviting you to consider your own circumstance. He's inviting you to consider your own disappointments. He's inviting you to be honest with Him. He's inviting you even to say, "I just don't believe you, Lord." God's going to accomplish His purposes through you. How much more glorious will it be when He accomplishes His purposes through willing and eager people? So just the right time, this stunning, astonishing, disconcerting for Zechariah, upsetting for Zechariah, confusing news. He comes out unable to speak, and everybody realizes he must have seen a vision, and 5 months later they find Zechariah and Elizabeth in seclusion getting ready for a child to be born. Nothing surprises God. He is at work behind all of our circumstances. He's at work behind all of our lives, bringing Jesus into our life. At just the right moment, God sends His Son. Just the right time, a baby is born. And their Son will usher in the ministry of the Messiah, Jesus. I think one thing that we can learn from this is that we should not get discouraged when times are tough. That you should not get discouraged when you look at your life and it's not winding up how you thought it might be. You shouldn't get discouraged when God throws you curveballs. You shouldn't get discouraged when circumstances seem hopeless, because God has something up His sleeve. God's at work. God loves you. He's inviting you to trust Him. What was this baby going to be doing? Besides being an answer to an old prayer for an old couple, this baby was going to make ready a people for God. This baby was tasked with the mission of getting people ready for the coming of Jesus Christ, making ready for the Lord a people prepared for God. I think God's provisions are always for us, but always He wants to provide for others through us. God's provisions are for us, but He wants to provide for others through us. That provision that you have received that just enables you to make it to the end of the month or make it to the end of the day, whether it's a check, whether it's a note of encouragement, whether it's an email, whether it's a phone call, whatever it is, what you receive is not meant to stop with you. It's meant to be passed through you to bless others every time. Zechariah and Elizabeth were not allowed to hoard the blessing of a son. They were told expressly, this child will bring joy to many, and he will make ready a people prepared for the Lord. I think I would ask you tonight, what are you struggling with when you walked in? Some of you walked in and things are hunky-dory. You've already had your peppermint milkshake from Chick-fil-A this season, and December is starting off right. I was studying at Barnes & Noble yesterday morning, and it's reading morning for the kids, and I heard them announce that they were going to have a special guest reading for them, and then Santa walks around the corner to the cafe, and it was Tim, one of the managers there, dressed up like Santa. But the amazing thing is I get my selfie with Santa. It starts off my December. But what did you walk in like tonight? What's your life like this evening? Are you spiritually apathetic? Are you struggling? Are you hurting? Are you disappointed? Are you stressed out? Are you sick? Are you grieving? Are you experiencing a lack of fulfillment? An empty heart? Burden of sin and failure? Struggling with your identity? You just don't know who you are, and you're struggling with who God made you to be. Ridicule, scorn that's been unjustified. Are you confused, maybe as to why God hasn't worked the way you want Him to work in your life? Or maybe you're confused as to why God has worked the way He's worked in your life. Maybe you're experiencing a time of God's silence. God is at work in our unmet expectations. He's at work in our world. Jesus has come and is the hope and light of our lives. And I love this ministry that's been given to John the Baptist. It said he has been given the ministry to make ready for the Lord a prepared people. Here comes the Messiah, Jesus. In the fullness of time, nobody was ready for him. Nobody was ready. King Herod is going to send to the religious leaders and says, is the Messiah supposed to be born in Bethlehem? And they say, oh, yeah, he is, but no one was there to meet him. God had to send angels and scare some shepherds out of their wits just so that there would be someone honoring the Messiah in the stable. No one was ready for what Jesus was going to do. No one was anticipating that their day would be radically changed, their life would be radically changed when Jesus began His ministry. So tonight, let me ask you, are you ready? All the things that I listed, lack of fulfillment, empty heart, burden of sin, are you ready for what Jesus can do in your life when you surrender your life fully to Him? You ready for the change that He can bring? You ready for the joy that He can instill? You ready for the injection of hope that comes only through faith in Jesus Christ? Folks, it is Christmas, and we of all people have the greatest news to share. Christ has come, Emmanuel, means God with us. May we reflect and may we resound with his praise. May we demonstrate to our world that we are ready to announce his coming. Let me pray for us. Father, we exalt you this evening, and we are so grateful for all that you are doing in our life. We're so thankful. And God, we ask that tonight you would bless and encourage and give direction and hope. God, that you would lead and guide each of us. Thank you for the experience of Zachariah and Elizabeth. Thank you for how they responded in faith. And thank you for what you did through the ministry of John. God, I pray that there's someone here tonight that doesn't know you, has never asked you into their life. I pray that you would give them the courage tonight to surrender their life to you in faith. And Lord, for the ones who are struggling and the ones who have unmet expectations, God, I pray that you would draw alongside of them and that you'd show them that you are so present and that you are at work, that you would increase their faith. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, our children are not finished treating us this evening. And in just a moment, we're going to watch a video that our children's ministry have been working really hard on behind the scenes. But here's what we're going to do while we're watching the video is the first Sunday of December, every year, we launch what we call our holiday missions offering. And so while we're watching the video, our band is going to come, and they're going to dismiss us in just a moment in song. But our offering takers will come, and they're going to take up our second offering of the evening. And for those of you who are guests, we don't do this all the time. Don't think, oh, they're just trying to get more money out of us. We give 100% of this offering away to the ministries and the mission agencies that we support and we come alongside of. And so if you will dig deep tonight, and if you will dig deep every Sunday in December, just know that what you give blesses someone else immensely. And it's our joy to be able to give 100% of this away. So let's watch the video, and let's have those who will be receiving our offering for a holiday missions offering begin doing that right now.
We're so glad you found this message today. You can find more resources, including previous podcasts, at northstarfamily.org. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you next time at North Star Church.